Becoming a full-time writer can be overwhelming. Join Jay Thorne and Zach Bohannon as they help you improve your craft and find your audience so you too can become a career author. This is the Career Author Podcast.
All right, welcome to the very first episode of the Career Author Podcast. My name is Zach Bohannon, and my co-host for this one, and hopefully for a long time, is Jay Thorne. How you doing, Jay?
Hey, what's up, man? This is exciting.
It is very, 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 very exciting. I'm really, really happy to be here. Definitely miss podcasting, especially podcasting with you.
So this I know.
I had to say something really sweet after that piano music playing, that really sweet piano music, which is perfect for a couple of heavy metal dudes. So
yeah, it fits our brand perfectly.
It fits us absolutely perfectly. And my sister-in-law's really smooth voice on radio voice. So we already have people tuning out. Listen to that. So everyone, welcome to the first episode. Like I said, we're really excited to get started. So, we'll do a little intro here. First thing to kind of mention before we get started is, we have recorded a episode zero of this podcast that is live on the feed right now. So if you haven't listened to that yet, go give that a listen, 'cause it kind of explains what we plan to achieve with this show. You know, what our format is, and also explain some of our, some of the really cool things we're doing on Patreon. So if you haven't listened to that yet, like I said, it's on the feed, it'll be on iTunes and everything. So, go listen to episode zero, the introduction episode. And speaking of Patreon, Jay, even though we have yet to record an episode until right now, we already have some awesome shout outs to patrons, don't we?
Yeah, that's pretty amazing that we mentioned it on social media, and I talked about it on the internet. And before we even started the show, we had patrons, which was super awesome.
Very, very cool. Absolutely. So we got some patrons, and I'm going to let Jay go ahead and give a shout out to
our patrons. You are. You ass. This is not an inside joke. It'll become apparent why he just did that in a minute. Yeah. All right. So we got a shout out to Lisa Zeller, Stephen Turner, Rachel, who is going to become this show's Zach. So if you listen to the pedal to the metal, you know that everyone takes a shot whenever we mention Zach. So now on this show, when we mention Rachel, you're going to have to take a shot.
Shout out, but that's okay.
And then we got Jill Harris. Jill. Thank you, Jill. Jill was with us on the Authors on a Train Retreat in New Orleans. That was very nice of her to contribute there. Chloe Adler has jumped in. And Marie. I'm sorry. I'm going to call her Mary Shock. This is terrible. I'm sorry. Yeah. MarrieJe. Schaake. Thank you for being a patron. Sorry for butchering your name. And that's why Zach made me do it.
That is exactly why. That is an awesome looking name. I just wish we could pronounce it.
Yeah, it looks like Nordic or like a Viking goddess or something. It's pretty cool.
Well, we're sorry that we butchered your name. That's all we can say. Or that Jay, I'm really sorry that Jay butchered
your name. It's all my fault, M.
So we really apologize for that. So, awesome. So as we kind of mentioned on episode zero, if you have listened to that, one really cool thing that we're going to be doing for people who contribute to Patreon is we're going to be doing this bonus episode every month where we're going to do a story analysis on a different movie each month. We were going to go ahead and announce in this first episode that, the very first movie we're going to be doing is I Am Legend. So we'll be doing that later this month, and everyone who is contributing in any level on Patreon will get that. We'll get that bonus episode to be able to listen to. So we're excited. I know that's one of Jay's favorite movies, and it's an awesome movie. So we're excited to do that one.
Yeah, it is. It's the 2007 version with Will Smith. And I think it's also worth noting that if you listen to us for the Horror Writers podcast, that was more of sort of a fan perspective. What we're doing in this movie analysis is we're breaking it down as storytellers, and there are going to be all types of movies from all different eras, and we're not just doing one methodology. So I know some people know I'm a pretty big story grid nerd. it's not just Story Grid. We're going to be looking at Hero's Journey and different acts and protagonists and antagonists and different character types. And we're really going to go in deep on that. And we think it'll be really valuable to authors. So I just wanted to kind of tack that on there too.
Yeah. And just to mention too, though, you know, Jay mentioned the Story Grid. Like, I mean, Jay is a certified Story Grid editor, so he knows it very well. But not just Story Grid. He's just knows story really well. So it's going to be really fun to break down those movies and everything and do that each month. So, so if you want to get involved in that and have access to those bonus episodes, then you can support us on Patreon over at thecareerauthor.com. So let's get started. So the first segment of our show is called Choose Your News. So, this is a fun one that I came up with. So the way this works is I'm going to give Jay three news headlines of stuff that is going on in the publishing industry or like related to the publishing industry. And then just based on those headlines, he's going to pick which one is the most interesting to him and we're going to discuss it. So
People like to leave me in the dark on stuff. So
Jay has no idea like what I'm about to ask him. I will post the links in the show notes to all three of these stories in case Jay picks the wrong one in your mind and we don't discuss it. So at least you can go through and see kind of what the title, what it is. So, all right. So choose your news. So here are your three headlines.
Yeah,
Jay.
Lay it on me, man.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. And there's only one right answer, by the way. So you better pick it. I'm just going to say. So, all right. Number one, Amazon to buy Target. Okay. Number two, Smashwords Mark Coker predicts doom and gloom for 2018. And headline number three, Amazon author rank stripped for the third time.
All right, Zach. Now, are these all legitimate news stories?
Oh, yeah. All these are legitimate. Absolutely. Yeah, they are for sure. So right. which one of those do you want to talk about? Which one sounds the most interesting?
Well, I definitely am going to scratch the Coker one because I think we're going to talk more about that in our primary and our main topic. I think that's going to come up. I hadn't heard the other two and I'm really interested, in the Amazon Target thing, but I don't think that's as relevant to me right now as the author stripping.
Yeah, the Target one is not probably as relevant. So let's do we'll do the author stripping one.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So give me the deets on that one.
All right. So this story is courtesy of David Goggin over at The Passive Voice. For those of you who don't know David is a really good author, but he also does a lot of these types of stories and kind of a lot of controversial stuff that's been happening to authors. So, so basically here's the gist of it. For the third time in as many months, I'm about to butcher her name. Author Christy Bellacamino. We'll say Bellacamino cause I'm probably going to mess it up regardless. Sorry, Christy, if you happen to be listening, was recently stripped of her Amazon sales rank on one of her titles. Each time her book was a part of a free promotion. The first time it happened, she had purchased a BookBub and her rank didn't return for over a month. The communication from Amazon was unhelpful at best, with the most information given was that they suspected the downloads coming from accounts used to manipulate sales rank. So that's kind of the gist of it. David has a really good article here that everyone should go check out if you're interested in this. But Jay, what is kind of your general thought? Like, have you seen much about all this rank stripping? I know, some of the Facebook groups we're in, stuff, people have talked about this some, but is this something that you've paid attention to or?
Yeah, this is definitely this falls into the category for me of really interesting and nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
And is there any info on, you know, you mentioned the free book promo was what red flagged her the first time. Is there any info on the second and third?
According to David, if I remember right in the article I'm looking at right now, I believe it every time the book was free.
Okay.
And she had done some promo. I don't know if it's the same book necessarily.
Right.
But it was, it looked like it was done on free promos. Which okay. And it's weird because one of the responses she got, talked a lot about Kindle Unlimited and borrows. And so I don't know, that was kind of strange. In this instance, unless I'm reading this wrong, it looks like in all instances, her book was free.
So, I mean, you know, the big point here is that, whether she did something intentionally or not, Amazon is using an algorithm to flag what they consider to be, you know, sketchy behavior. And it's completely out of the author's control. Like if you get caught up in a click farm, or if you're part of a promo and there's, you know, an army of tweeters who are downloading your free book, and there's nothing you can do about it, you're going to be punished for that. Now, on the other hand, it's Amazon's sandbox, and as much as that sucks, they can do whatever the hell they want. And I know that's not a very popular opinion. And if we get talking about the state of self-publishing in 2018, based on one of those other news stories, I'm going to talk more about it. But, you know, it's not an open source platform. Like it's like if you were to sell a product on the shelves of Target, how you like to see how I'm connecting all these stories here? If you were to sell products on the shelf of Target, like you don't get to tell Target, you know, where they put it in the store. Because like it's Target is the retailer and they own that space and it's their prerogative, whether it's fair or not. Like it's kind of not your call. I think I'm more curious in this point though. We've seen Amazon, bring the hammer down for spikes. Like if you're doing the slow drip and if you're doing AMS ads and you're selling a couple books a day, you're never going to be flagged for this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
However, those big spikes, like you get through BookBub, are certainly things that happen every single day for hundreds of authors. And I know that you recently did one, and you did pretty well with it. I wonder if you could maybe talk a little bit about that.
About like my free promo that I did, you said?
Yeah, or? And like what, you know, why, like if doing a free BookBub was like risky, what would you say to someone who said, that's too risky, I'm not going to do it?
You know, my whole opinion on all this stuff is that you kind of nailed it. Like this isn't, there's nothing that you can do about this. Like, I mean, there is something you could do. You could not sell your books on Amazon if it's that big of a deal. But let's be realistic. No one who is making money doing this is going to do that. Okay. So like to me, I think the important thing is just like I don't live in fear about these things. Like, you know, could my book get rank stripped? Yeah, it could happen. Like, can I, you know, Amazon likes to take reviews down, you know, could that happen to me? Yeah, it could happen to me. You know, in a bigger instance, like we know authors who have had their books taken down and their, you know, their royalties withheld because of the click farm thing. Like, but my whole thing is I'm not going to live every day doing this and worrying about that stuff. Like worrying that that's going to happen to me. So to me, the best thing to do is like nothing that I know that nothing I'm doing is shady or anything like that. And so I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing and like not worry about what could happen. If it happens, then will that suck? Absolutely. If something like that happens to me, but I'll deal with it then. Like I'm not going to necessarily change, decisions that I make aren't necessarily going to be impacted by this kind of stuff to a degree. You know, like I have started to take some of my back catalog wide to other stores and I've done decent, but that wasn't necessarily because I'm scared that Amazon's going to do something like this or they're going to drop their royalties down or something. Like it's more because the book wasn't performing in Kindle Unlimited the way it used to. And it was good time for me to go try other platforms.
Right.
And it's good not to have all your eggs in one basket. Like, that is true. Even if the one basket is a huge basket and brings a lot of money in. But that's the thing to me. These types of things you can't worry about. And like, it's really hard for me to think like I'm going to change my decision-making because things like this happen and I'm not going to do a free promo or something.
Right.
So it sucks. It happened to her. It sucks. It's happened to other people. You know, I've had weird Amazon things happen. You know, you joke with me. Last month I had a whole thing where I woke up one day and had 100 new reviews and they were for a teeth whitener, you know, I mean, like stuff happens, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, and I think the most frustrating part, and I understand, and here's where I can understand where this gets really frustrating is, and I wish that something could be done about this, but is that when something does happen and you are innocent and you reach out to Amazon, the canned like responses you get are so awful a lot of the time.
Yes. Agreed.
You know, I wish that it was a little more personal, like the responses they get, but at the same time, when you look at how many responses they're probably dealing with, because there's what, like 5 million books on the Kindle store, or 4 million or something. They're probably getting go ahead.
I was going to say, and taking that up even another level, I guarantee you that the Amazon Rockstar support people are not working on KDP.
Like, exactly.
The electronic book industry, you know, that's such a small sliver of their overall profit. They're not going to put a ton of support or time or money into that. They're just not.
Yeah, and I can come from the fact that I worked at a company that dealt with Amazon, and we were like top in our category of what we sold. And while the customer service, like, we had a rep and it was a little more personal, but we still had to deal with the same kind of crap and a lot of these canned responses and people not getting back to us. And again, we were at the very top of our category. There's a lot of authors who are kicking butt that have reps and they get a little bit better service than the mid-level and the lower level authors, you know.
Yeah,
it sucks it's like this, but this is how it is. So, I mean, honestly, that's pretty much all I really have to say about this. I wish that there was something that could be done, but you know, this is part of the deal when you're playing ball with Amazon. And at the end of the day, and I know people hate to hear this too, but if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't even be here doing this podcast. So, yep. You know,
That's it, man. I don't think I have anything to add. I totally agree.
All right. So that was our Choose Your News segment. I hope you guys liked it. And like I said, we'll have all three headlines. If you guys are interested in the Mark Coker blog or in the Target story, we'll have those links where you can go check that out. So, but for now, we're going to move on into our main topic of the show, which is state of the self-publishing industry in 2018. So, and Jay and I haven't really discussed this either, but I figured we would just kind of have a discussion of kind of where we see things right now as far as in the self-publishing industry. Cause you know, this is, I guess we're about like, as far as in the Kindle era, we're what, 7 years in at this point. Is that right? Cause it was 2011 or 2010.
The device is 10 years old. So we're, it's probably closer to 10 years.
Okay. Okay. Cause I guess KDP came along not too long after that.
Yeah, right around the same time.
I haven't been around that long in the industry. So, But we're looking at about 10 years or so, you know, of the Kindle and of this industry and stuff. And so we figured we'd just kind of do a discussion, like I said, of where we are now. So Jay, how do you want to start this? Like, you know, do you want to kind of give your idea of where you see the industry as of today before we talk about maybe do some predictions for the year or anything like that?
Yeah, sure. I think that we're in a slightly maturing industry. There's no doubt about it. I mean, 10 years, especially in the tech world, is a long time. But at the same time, I still believe that if you want to make money as a writer, there's never been a better time. And I would be very reluctant to believe anyone who said that it's too late. Like, you've missed the boat. There are too many books out there. Don't bother. You can't break in. It's too competitive. I think that's all bullshit. I think it's a scare tactic, and I, in my heart of hearts, I don't believe it. Now, what I will say, and this is different, I think, than it was 10 years ago or even 5 years ago when you were kind of coming into this, I think you got to bring your A game now. Like, I, you know, when I first started, I threw shit up on KDP and got tens of thousands of downloads, and I made my own covers, and I had titles that were confusing or mysterious, and you can't do that stuff anymore. Like, now I think the opportunity is still there, but you have to compete. And I wouldn't even say you have to compete with the New York publishers, because I think indies are doing a better job than most publishers are. Like, you have to compete for attention, not even necessarily with other independent publishers. You're competing with Netflix and Hulu and Xbox and the NBA. And so because of that, all of that is to say that I think all the opportunity is still there. However, you have really got to bring your best. You can't half-ass it anymore.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. I hear that stuff all the time, and a lot of people say it's too late, and or, you know, I've heard some author friends of mine, you know, say things like, you know, I think we've only got a few more years of doing this. I just don't agree with any of that. I think what you're saying, I think you really nailed on the head. I think what's more important is that, you know, yes, are more people releasing books? Absolutely. Are there, you know, are more people discovering this whole Kindle Direct Publishing thing? Absolutely. But you really, really, as Jay said, have to just pay attention and make sure you're not putting out, you know, a book with a bunch of typos and with a disjointed story. You got to have a good cover. You need, you know, to get good editing. All that stuff is very, very, very important. And I think what we're starting to see, it's already happening, is that yes, there's a lot of competition out there, but I think that like the cream is going to rise to the top. Like, the better stuff is going to stay. And then, you know, a lot of the low quality stuff is just going to disappear, and those authors won't be Ryan anymore. And in all honesty, like, if you're not going to put all the work in and, you know, get pay for a good editor, get a good cover, like, make sure you're putting a product out there that people should be paying for to read, then like, you probably shouldn't be doing this.
Absolutely.
To be honest with you.
Absolutely. So, and I won't say 100%, because that's I can't make that statement, but I would say at least 97% of the authors I've dealt with in my life should not be editing their own work, should not be making their own covers.
Absolutely.
Like, those are just two very simple logistical things that you can do to compete right away.
And staying on that, like, because you and I have talked about this, especially with the editing thing, I think that one of the big misconceptions there is that people don't understand what an editor is. Like, an editor is not someone who's supposed to just find typos.
Yeah.
A good editor is going to tell you why your story works, why it doesn't work, you know, if your characters have the right motivations, if you're going off on a tangent that has nothing to do with the story. Like, you know, they're going to help you with the pacing and the flow of your book and make sure you don't have a disjointed story. So you need outside opinion for that.
Yeah.
Like,
and
you just do.
It has nothing to do with pantsing versus plotting.
Absolutely.
It has nothing to do with save the cat versus story grid. What it has to do with is crafting a good story that will keep people engaged, because that's all that matters. And that doesn't happen unless you are consciously trying to make it happen through whatever system or process or methodology that you have. But you have to have one. You can't just sit down and type on a keyboard and expect to churn out some beautiful masterpiece. It just doesn't work that way.
And so, you know, we've also talked about, you know, and you and I have talked about this a lot in private, and but we talked about just a few minutes ago on the show, but, you know, it's obviously, okay, Amazon is the big beast, and that doesn't seem to be going away in 2018.
No, not hardly.
I mean, they just sold something like millions and millions and millions of their Echo devices. So more people are getting Amazon. And that matters because people are listening to audiobooks and those things. You can have your Kindle books read on them, you know, so like they're just a juggernaut in media, and more people are subscribing to Kindle Unlimited. And you know, it's just, that's just where the industry is now. It's the same thing happened to the music industry. You know, I mean, you and I know that as well. I mean, people started subscribing to services instead of buying, you know, the single books, and cheating a little bit and talking a little bit about Mark Coker's predictions, because I have them in front of me. That was one thing he said that I can't, he had a lot of negative stuff. And one thing he said that I really can't disagree with is that like single ebook sales will probably decline as more people subscribe to Kindle Unlimited. I think that's probably going to happen.
And I would say, so what?
Exactly. Who cares?
Yeah,
exactly. And I think the problem with it is, and he mentioned this in the article, is that the problem is that it, in his mind, not in mine necessarily, is that it ruins discoverability for new authors if you're not in Kindle Unlimited, or just for authors in general, because they reward all the authors who are in Kindle Unlimited. So, but again, like,
yeah, it ruins Smashwords discoverability, that. But how many people do you know who are buying their books from Smashwords? Do you know anyone?
Exactly. I don't either.
I mean, you and I have been we're part of this industry. We're creators in this industry. I don't know anyone that buys their books off Smashwords.
I don't know anyone who does. No. And, so I'm not going to sit here and pile on Mark. I mean, cause I don't agree with a lot of stuff he said in the article. But you also have to understand the position he's coming from, where he does run a company that distributes books. And so like Amazon KU is like hurting his pocket. So,
I understand that. And I am not going to pile on him either. I use Smashwords really early on. I still have titles on Smashwords. I have a lot of respect for him being a pioneer. But like the ranting against Amazon, it just comes off as sort of petty. And like you don't, and for fair comparison, you don't really hear that rhetoric coming out of Draft to Digital.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Who could claim to be just as victimized as Smashwords, but you don't hear it from them. So I feel like there's better, you know, in making predictions or looking at the state of the industry in 2018, I think it'd be much more helpful if he focused on what Smashwords wanted to do or could do versus what Amazon is doing to him.
Yeah, I agree. Just a couple other things that he mentioned, and I'm totally cheating now and just going off this news story, but he also says that he believes that author email list will shrink as people try to take control of their inboxes. I don't really agree with that either.
A sky is falling prediction in my opinion. I've heard that for decades.
I mean, how long has the word spam been around and people been worried about their email boxes? I mean, that's not a 2018 thing.
No, and every year someone says email's dead, and it's not.
It's not dead. So, one more he mentioned on Amazon. I think this one's interesting, but, you know, pressure will build for ebook royalties to drop as Amazon's competitors fall by the wayside. Because he thinks that Kobo and Apple are really going to take a step back. I know Kobo is out there really, I mean, you know, they just got into the audiobook industry and they really are doing a lot of really good things. But I don't know if the whole royalty thing will actually happen or not.
Yeah.
Not this year, at least, you know?
No. And I don't necessarily even subscribe to that logic, because Amazon is such a customer centric company. What they're not going to do is they're not going to compromise the product, because that creates a terrible customer experience. So I think the end result of dropping royalty or slashing royalty substantially, now it could fluctuate, but like cutting them substantially is going to hurt the product. And I just don't see Amazon doing that.
Okay. So let's move away from that article and let's just talk about some stuff that kind of maybe where we see the industry going, or, you know, maybe if we have any kind of predictions for this year of any things that we, you know, is this going to be another thing everyone says every year is Barnes & Noble going to finally go out of business?
Yeah. I don't
you
care.
Know, like every, yeah, I don't either, but like, that's just one thing that people bring. I mean, so you say you don't care. So what do you care about? Like what, like, is there anything that you want to predict or where you see it going this year, or do you just not care in general?
No, I don't think, I don't see, I don't care in general, but I can't say that on a podcast. In all seriousness, I don't, sort of the prognosticating and like, and predictions and stuff, like, that's never been my bag because it's out of my control and it's sort of time spent that you're not going to get back. What I like to think is like, what are my trends? What are the things in 2018 that sort of I want to lean into more? And that sort of align with the industry. So I'll give you an example. I really believe, and if I didn't believe this, we wouldn't have Molten Universe Media. I really believe telling stories with other people creates way better stories than you can tell by yourself. I just, I fundamentally believe that. And if I didn't, I would just be writing solo stuff all the time. Because of that, I believe in 2018, we're going to start to see more and more multi-author collaborations that are not only serialized, but sort of almost become small publishing companies in themselves. I think that for me is like the biggest thing I'm looking for in 2018, something that I'm personally involved with and that I can see really make sense based on my own experience and based on sort of what the market is telling us right now.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I agree with you because we kind of already got ahead on the curve on that. So,
well, we like to hope we have,
we like to hope we have at least, you know, obviously we weren't the first ones to do it, but, you know, we have a lot of our own plans kind of built towards that. So, so I agree with you, I'm the same way. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, try to be, you know, Nostradamus or anything and like think about what's going to happen this year. Cause none of us know, but what I can say, I agree with you on the multi-author collaboration. I think that's only going to get more popular.
Yes.
I think that's important. I do think that this is, and I know a lot of other people have said this, but you know, I do think that we are going to see audiobooks continue to grow. I think that's going to be, and that makes me a little less worried about like people not wanting to read books and go to YouTube and stuff instead, because, you know, I think podcasts and audiobooks are both going to really take a jump this year. Especially as I mentioned before, with all these smart home speakers and stuff, with the Amazon Echo devices and stuff, where, I mean, I listen to audiobooks on mine all the time and I know other people that do too. So, I really think that this will be a good year for audiobooks. And, you know, if you're an author that hasn't done audiobooks yet, you know, I mean, you should be looking into it. It's not cheap, but I do think that one eventually is going to pay off. You know, from a personal standpoint, you know, I'm just excited about this year. I mean, you and I have some really good stuff planned, you know, both in our publishing industry or both in our publishing world, but then also, you know, other things we're doing to, you know, help supplement and keep us from having to rely so much on book royalties, you know, some other stuff that you and I are wanting to do. So, I'm really excited again. You know, this is kind of a bad thing for Jay and I to be talking about because we pretty much ignore all this stuff on purpose. Like, we don't really get into all the K boards talk and all that stuff. Like, it's just not our thing because we just worry about what we can handle,
right,
or what we can control.
So. Right. And I think this is, especially in episode one, I think this is a good thing to really put out there. And I feel really good about this, and I don't feel like it's a judgment, or I don't feel like it's choosing sides, but what you and I are doing is not what other collaborators are doing. We know why we were doing what we're doing. And so we are not like writing movie scripts. We are not producing video games because it's not our why. And I feel like that the collaboration piece that we talked about for 2018, that the most accessible way to do that is just to find a partner and start collaborating on the written word. And that's what we're doing. So if you stick with us, you keep coming back and listening to the episodes, that's going to be our focus. And like, I've been friends and a huge fan of Sterling and Stone guys for years. I love what Michael Anderle is doing. Those guys are building empires, and that's just not what we want to do. And it's not wrong or bad, or it's just different. And And you know, this kind of came out on Authors on a Train when back in November that we were kind of sharing that with the attendees. It's like, this is what we want to do, and we feel like we can show you how to do it as well.
Absolutely. Could not agree more. So
cool.
Well, cool. So, that about wraps up this episode. Just a couple of, quick announcements I want to make here at the end. Jay and I are going to be, speaking and co-hosting the Selmore Book Show Summit, which is taking place the first weekend in May. And the early bird pricing for that ends on January 12th. So we've got some really good early bird pricing. That's going to be in Chicago. I don't know if I mentioned that or not. We've got some really, really good speakers lined up for that. We'll be speaking, Lindsay Broker, Rachel Herron, Chris Fox, Monica Leonel. We got some really good speakers. Brian Meeks. Yep. So, we're doing that in, with the Selmore Book Show, guys, Jim Kukral and Brian Cohen. So, yep. So get over to sellmorebookshow.com/summit if you're interested in that, and you can take advantage of that early bird pricing. Jay, you want to talk real quick about the webinar we're doing next week?
Yeah, we're gonna do our first webinar together next week. 100% completely free. It's gonna be three things you need to do before you start collaborating. So we're going to explain some of those, some of the really basic stuff that we've learned through doing it. And we're going to share it with you. And if you want to hop on that webinar, you can register at, thecareerauthor.com/webinar. And, there'll be a little form there you can fill out and you'll get an invite.
Awesome. Awesome. So cool. Well, we really appreciate everyone listening, to episode one. We're glad to have you here. And we look forward to doing this every week. We'll be posting up episodes every Thursday. And if you want to check out our website, and if you want to see a little bit more about the Patreon stuff we mentioned earlier, you can go to thecareerauthor.com. So, all right. Well, I'm Zach Bohannon. That dude over there is Jay Thorne. And we'll see you guys next week.
Later.